2020 fall series. And the name of that series is Democracy in Crisis. So Women Explore created this series a year ago, which was quite prescient of us. How did we know and was going to be presented in spring? And of course, that was not possible. So this is our first foray onto a Zoom series. And we just ask you to be patient with us and understanding about glitches and things that are going along the way. But we wanted to stay connected and informed with each other. So we're here. And we seem to be traveling a parallel track with the election, because we're on Thursdays, and we were after the presidential debate. Then we came after the vice presidential debate. And now another debate is in the works. So we are tracking the election, and we're tracking ourselves within the election, and what we need to learn and what we need to do to shape what happens. Our schedule is that at 11:30, we do a welcome, and then we have a focus. And the focus is a talk by a person who's come to our forum and who wants to speak from a personal point of view about the topic. So that gets us engaged and wondering and feeling how this might be impacting us personally in our lives or has in the past. And then from 12 to 1, we have a main speaker. And from 1 to 1:20-ish, we have a discussion, and which might include breakout rooms. What has been happening lately is that sometimes the breakout rooms have been in and out of the conversation itself, and it hasn't been an exact, we end at 1 o'clock and then move into discussion. So I'm not sure what's planned for today. So we're trying to be fluid and flexible as these times call for. So we welcome you all here. And Kama and Mary Margaret, you know, what do you need to tell us about the Zoom etiquette pieces, how we're doing Zoom today with chat, et cetera?
So I believe if you have questions during Dorianne's talk, you can chat them to us, and Mary Margaret and I will be monitoring that so that we'll have them at the end to ask. If there's time to ask Dorianne, and I believe that Lila is going to have particular parts where she'll ask for some questions, but if you have a question prior to that, you can send it in the chat so you don't forget it.
And send to everyone.
Chats to everyone, okay. All right, and you know, when a speaker is speaking, if you want to put your setting on speaker setting rather than gallery setting, then you'll just see them. But it's really important that you put yourself on mute, because you'll call the screen to yourself if you make any noise at all, even a little cough or a little aha, yes, I agree kind of sound. So try to be mindful of your mute function. And please look around you as one last time before we get started. Do you have any devices that make noise? Please try to silence them or put them on vibrate or make them mute, whatever needs to happen. So our topic today is the vital role of the media, democracy and the fourth estate. And raise your hand if the media is not driving you crazy right now. See, no hands raised. The media is not driving you crazy because you're not turning it on, right? Yeah. It's a wild ride here, so we're really interested in this topic. And to kick us off will be Dorianne. Dorianne Lowe grew up in Baltimore and received degrees in history, art history, and library science. She's been lucky to do a lot of traveling. For 3 years, she gave lectures and tours at an art museum in Buffalo. And for several decades, she did cataloging and reference work at the Newton Free Library in Newton, Massachusetts. Over the years, Dorianne has been active in the Unitary Universalist First Parish in Cambridge and has belonged to different groups, like church groups, a women's writing group, an alumni book club, activist groups, and Women Explore. So let's welcome Dorianne. And do we have your permission to record, Dorianne?
Oh, you do.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Good.
So I guess I'll start. That's Mount Auburn Cemetery in Cambridge behind me. Now I'll start my speech. I am a news junkie. I constantly listen to WBUR, WGBH, and the BBC, and also read these public news media online. I also get the Boston Sunday Globe, and because I support WBUR and WGBH, I have subscriptions to Time and the New Yorker. I also watch C-SPAN. Why do I follow these particular media? Many wise people are concerned about getting truthful media. These media do have a truthful reputation. The broadcasters do have a habit of interviewing representatives of both sides of an issue. I have occasionally enjoyed Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, who is liberal, because I tend toward the left. I have a nice brother who watches Fox News, which I find repetitive and anti-Democrat. I am especially fond of watching Amanpour and Company on PBS. She and her three fellow interviewers question prominent people from many fields, which can range from an astronomer who won a Nobel Prize for studying black holes to a Trump supporter. Amanpour will pose direct questions to her guests, like some interviewers on the BBC do also. And I have to put in, I need to put in a good word for C-SPAN. It shows exactly what is going on without interruptions by commentators or ads. Only when the debate or royal wedding is over does someone come on for reactions from Democrats, Republicans, and independents. I hope I am a better citizen for listening to hopefully truthful, humanely focused media. I remember from college that I was encouraged to follow a variety of sources for my history papers. In addition to my regular news sources, I hear quotations from the Washington Post and the New York Times. Some New York Times articles appear in the Sunday Boston Globe. I sometimes bump into some articles from The Guardian online. It's good when correspondents from different media are interviewed. Magazines are fun, especially when they have cartoons and shorter pieces among longer ones in The New Yorker. Time is easier to nibble at because it has shorter but still helpful articles. Whoops. Sorry to interrupt here. I do not tweet or go on Facebook. I think my life is busy enough with an overflow of email without being involved with Twitter or Facebook. I also don't trust Facebook. The biggest problem with the media may be that there are so many choices, and it helps to be able to make balanced choices. Among the newspapers, magazines, and programs, there are also the articles sent out by all kinds of organizations on email. And also sent out by friends. There are also snippets to watch on YouTube, some of them with comic relief. Two shows even evaluate the media. One is Beat the Press on WGBH, which discusses the overall treatment of several stories, and then the observations on separate stories by the five participants. I have seen our guest, Lila Alphonse, on this. On the media also appears another show. Another show on the media also appears on NPR. I also like the media because I am curious or like to be entertained, which improves my mental health during the multiple crises in the news. Saturday Night Live satire can bring laughter and relief to the news. I like travel shows like Rick Steves' Europe. I am currently charmed by Escape to the Chateau on WGBH. It is about three warm British generations living together while the husband and wife in the middle generation reconstruct and decorate a cute, by chateau standards, a cute chateau in France, along with birds, a moat, and a lazy cat. I also like hearing about some animal that was thought to be extinct being discovered not being extinct. Sometimes, since I live alone, and especially since I'm hiding from the virus, the media are good company, and I can watch the characters in shows like Doc Martin and Last Tango in Halifax. I plan to continue supporting public broadcasting because it is among the most trustworthy. I want anyone, rich or poor or in between, to receive it, to be able to receive it. I want anyone to be turned on by the fascinating diversity of people, nature, and other topics it displays. I hope it increases a sense of wonder, empathy, curiosity, and inspiration, which will encourage people to seek fuller lives for themselves and their fellow humans. In conclusion, I would like to mention I like reading letters to the editor. Here are two I would like to write and send. Dear editor, there are so many dystopias being written and filmed. While they may warn us of mistakes to avoid, I would love to have you send out an appeal for realistic utopias, which might be hopeful and useful guides for a better future. Next one, dear editor, please send out an appeal to people of all ages and circumstances to write an essay or monologue or even book entitled If I Were President. It would be very satisfying to read. It would be very satisfying and also helpful to read some imaginative and wise ideas. So that is the end of my talk, and I hope that you can bear with the news over the weeks.
Thank you, Dorianne. And we actually have some extra time for people to ask questions of you. So we open the floor. I don't know if there's any in chat yet. So Mary Margaret can tell us that.
Nothing yet. Do you want people to raise their hands right now?
Yeah, that'd be great. Barbara had her hand up.
Dorianne, there's also a program called Reliable Sources. That is very good. And he's just written a book on the connection between, I think, Fox Media and our politics. And I think it's on CNN. It might be on MSNBC, and it's on the week. I think it's on the weekend, but you can Google it.
Oh, thank you.
Lila has an interesting comment for us. Do you want to share it, Lila?
Sure. I really love the idea of a call for utopias, and I'm wondering what yours would look like.
Oh, my. That's very well. I hope that it would be considered human rights to have health care, housing, good education. And I know we have to have bridges that don't fall down. We need highways so food can get transported all over the country. I also hope that people learn to appreciate diversity, because there's just all kinds of neat things about different types of people, different ethnic groups, different customs, different food. I mean, people are free to go to church or synagogue or mosque or temple or whatever, but they can also, it's hoped that maybe we can all enjoy the 4th of July and Thanksgiving, and maybe Thanksgiving should be sort of separated from the pilgrims, and maybe it should be a sort of like a general good feeling about the country. And I think we have to remember people who died in Memorial Day. And I think that veterans should be honored, because unlike Trump, I think people, in many cases, people were very brave to go to war. And it was not a very pleasant choice. And there's just, I'm sure I've forgotten things, but I hope that we don't see people of minority groups as others, but we see ourselves in them. And we all have the same needs. And sometimes when you listen to Trump, it's just the feeling like, what kind of speeches would I make? And I'm just a humble citizen. And it's so frustrating, because I am sure there are so many people who could really speak out and talk about the basic needs. And the thing is, if you have your basic needs met, and you can't, maybe the government can't get you dates and other things. I mean, they can't necessarily meet you, get you a congenial spouse or something like that, but they can give you work on your basic needs, and then you can go to bed at night and sleep without worrying about how you're going to feed your children or how you're going to pay your medical bills. And there's more creativity when you don't have to worry about and be desperate about surviving. So I don't know if I've said enough, but out it poured.
I think that's great. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorian.
Yeah. That could be a fun session for a Women Explore sometime, to have people bring their ideas of utopia.
Right. And then we could communally design a utopia based on that. Are there any other questions or comments? Penny had a comment.
Paula had something to say also.
And Penny had a comment on chat. Yeah. Paula? You're muted.
Paula, you're muted.
Thank you, Dorian. Thank you so much for going through in depth the media you monitor. And I monitor very similar ones, but it's always good to hear it out loud. And when you just answered Lila's question about the utopia, I think you should write all that down. I just think it's really, and with your point of view. But so thank you very much for a really interesting focus. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Penny has responded to your utopia by, she wants to call Thanksgiving the National Family Gathering Day, as calling us a national family.
Oh my God, that's great.
So she's joining your utopia.
It's a great idea.
And if people are orphans, we hope that they will find a place at the celebration too. That would be great if everybody could be included, because National Neighbor Day, National Family Day, National Friend Day, National Nice to Know You Day.
Dorianne, you got to write all this down.
That's great. We could call one of those anytime, couldn't we? Let's have a National Nice to Know You Day. Dorianne, I wanted to ask you a question. I loved your description of NPR because I find it the same way, that it's just a beautiful textured variety and lots of different topics. I learn a lot of things. But I also feel uneasy about NPR. Someone's not muted. I also feel uneasy about NPR. I have this sense that they are being very selective in what they present, and that they are leaving out some points of view and some things. And the reason I think that is because when I talk with people on the street or at different times, I hear things that I never hear on NPR. So I worry that sometimes, although I feel like what they present is truthful, there's another kind of untruth when things are left out and it's not named that they're left out. So I don't know if you've ever had that feeling about public TV and public radio.
Oh, that's a good, it's a good point. I'll have to think about that, because I know that I am sort of, I may be narrow in my my news watching. So it's good to see, then, you know, because, you know, that's a, it's a good point to see what's missing. Maybe you, in the regular discussion, you can bring up some of the things that they miss.
Well, many years ago, I listened to Rush Limbaugh for about 6 months. It was my assignment every day to myself to see what was that about, and what was it that I didn't know about what was happening. And I learned a lot about what I didn't know. It was very hard to listen to as well. But it was an assignment I gave myself to see if there were this parts of things that had a curtain on them for me, that I just couldn't see what I couldn't see and couldn't know what I don't know. So it was hard to do, but so I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying that there are other sources that people listen to and participate in. It's not just one voice talking. It's a collective voice of some kind.
I do see Fox occasionally on Christmas vacation with my brother. And maybe I don't judge it kindly or something, but it's true. I don't listen to, there's a lot I don't listen to.
Barb has her hand up, Linda, just so you know.
Barb, yeah. Okay, Barb, yeah.
But, you know, so when you were listening to Limbaugh, how did you determine, in terms of what you were listening to, what was true and what wasn't? And that's my question about media across the board. It seems to me like we are very much influenced in terms of the media that we select. And I have a husband who listens to Fox, and I go in there and I'm like, I feel like I've entered a different reality.
Well, yes. I mean, when we heard Pence describe the president, it was like, which presidency is that? I mean, these descriptions were like very surprising. So I don't have an easy answer, but I just gave myself the assignment because, as I said, he's not one voice. He has many, 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 many followers. And so I wanted to know what they're thinking and what they're believing, and so that I could see them as people and not just say, well, oh, them, you know. I wanted to know them as people, and it was very uncomfortable. I had to do a lot of breathing and a lot of, you know, chopping in the kitchen. I used to do it listening while I was cooking, like chopping vegetables or whatever. I just had to do what I had to do to stay present. But does it matter in one way if it's true or not true? Many people believe it. And so I just needed to know what was happening. And so I, but I have that trouble with media all the time. It's like, what's true and not true, even from the left or progressives or Democrats. There's a lot of spin. So I end up not knowing. So I don't listen to the news. I mean, I don't watch the news.
Susan has her hand up.
Susan?
Yeah. I just wanted to say that WBUR does have a program, Linda, where they get a panel of voters. A couple of days ago, yesterday or the day before, I was listening to three voters from Florida, and they all had very different views to what you or I might have.
I heard that show, and the, my problem is that it's this much of WGBH, you know, it's but yes, I heard that program. I was glad they had it on.
It's a significant amount. I mean, and it's a regular feature at, you know, in the run up to the election.
Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else who wants to comment on Dorianne's talk or ask a question or share something?
Paula's got a hand up.
And Linda too, right? Yeah. Paula?
Linda, when you were talking about what NPR leaves out or... And the thought crossed my mind that before 9/11, and I'm a huge listener to NPR, and before 9/11, NPR had a lot more features on food, food sources, just cuisine, not restaurants, but just food. And when 9/11 came along, honestly, the first thing that they jumped was food. And we all, you know, we have a health system in a crisis and we need to be able to eat right. And really, it's not covered very well. I mean, Michael Pollan has tried to cover it, but it's not covered as, you know, the news takes precedent. And when you see food and our food sources covered in the media, it's like it's an emergency or... It's how many people don't have something, but it's not the overall thing of food and nourishment, which I definitely NPR used to cover it before 9/11 in the 90s. So I'm just saying part of that utopia, Dorianne, would be
excellent.
Food is what keeps us going. It's not an optional thing.
There should be healthy food in every neighborhood.
You know, things like that, right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Linda.
Yeah, I typically get my news from Squawk Box, which is a, you know, a show about markets and they have, you know, there are three commentators. One is more progressive. One is more, you know, conservative. And it's just amazing to me. But both of them, I would classify as rational, maybe guy on the street people who, so I don't know if any of you watch this, but, and it is more focused on the financial markets and stocks and trading. But I just love when they'll have political people on, they'll have more left-leaning, right-leaning and business people on. But I love that there's some, they often agree on things. They often will hear the most extreme side one way or another, and they're and both of them are like, no, that's too extreme. You know, it's not like they are the extremes. They're more centrist, and so and they do cover a lot of that's not the only thing I watch, but they do cover a lot of current event topics, and I enjoy seeing it from that perspective. That was one comment. The other comment I was going to make is, I often wonder, I have to say, I've been on Facebook maybe 6 months. I hate it. I after this election, I'm getting off Facebook. There's so much misinformation and there's so much anger when you call it out, even if you try to call it out in a respectful way, it just boggles my mind. But I keep thinking, where are they getting that from? Where is that information coming from? And I do think it's our news sources, our media, whether it's social media or there was a study done, I think in MIT, where they said that false information spreads six times faster than truth. And it's, I think it's just because it's sensational and it gets reactions. So emotions spread quicker. So if you can invoke that emotion of anger or whatever it is, or self-righteousness, that information is going to spread faster. And that tends to be the false news. So Thank you, those are my comments.
And Dorianne, you gave us a perfect intro to Lila. Now she knows all the things we're worried about and thinking about and the utopia we would like to live in. So thank you, Dorianne.